Welcome to the Ultimate Journey of Self-Care. I am Allison Kaczkowski, your host. Thank you so much for tuning in to check out exactly what we're talking about. Self-care means so many things to people. It's one of the reasons I decided to start this show. And you'll hear self-care discussed from a number of different angles in this space. I am grateful to have you with me, and I hope you get a lot out of what I'm going to share with you today.
Hey, everybody, it's Allison Kaczkowski. Thank you for joining me today for another edition of the Ultimate Journey of Self-Care. This is our Tuesday flagship show. And I am your host, as always, and I love to spend time with you on Tuesdays. I'm super excited that you are choosing to spend some time with me by listening. So today, my guest is coming all the way from the British Columbia area of Canada, our neighbors to the north. Today, I'm talking to Meridi Lockoff, who we are going to talk about addiction and using laser therapy as a way to combat that. So this is going to be a really interesting conversation. We're going to take a deep dive into not necessarily there's just the science of addiction, but what it is, how it affects people's lives. And we're going to really talk about what her expertise is and how she helps her clients and people disengage from addiction. Thanks so much for joining me today.
No problem. Thanks so much for having me. I really appreciate it.
Of course. My pleasure. So before we get into all of the goodness, please, if you don't mind, just tell my audience a little bit about you.
So I am and have been a single mom for my two kids who are now turning 23 and turning 22. I have built two successful businesses, one of which is the one we're going to talk about today, where we have multiple locations. The other one is just a bookkeeping company, but I have seven team members, and we are really happy with basically the life we've built there, and my staff really enjoys what they do. So yeah, I basically am an entrepreneur at heart who kind of came across this addiction thing just because I wanted, to see, I guess I needed my own clarity. I needed to get to a place where I could get sober from, I could get to stop smoking was my thing. And then it just sort of rolled into this really deep passion where I started investigating what it was that I do and how I could make it better. And so for the last 13 years, just over, I have been really digging into all addictions. And it turns out that all addictions stem from the same things. And our addictions are really just, they are a solution for most of us. So most people are like, no, the addiction is the problem. No, sadly, the addiction is not the problem. The problem that we have is that we don't want to feel our feelings, we don't want to deal with our past traumas. And then we find a drug or alcohol that feels good to escape in just a little bit before you know what you're doing. You're suddenly in it as full-fledged as it can be because it just feels good to not feel the feelings.
Yeah. What I was just going to say before you so eloquently described that is that obviously this is a subject that's near and dear to your heart. You know, you just said you used to be a smoker and you kicked that addiction. So what you decided to do, which I think is extremely admirable, is that you're like, look, I kick this. I'm sure I can help other people do the same thing. But you're exactly right about addiction. Addiction is, I think you put it really right. You put it really well. You said it's our solution. But, and what I always think of addictions as is a symptom of the real problem.
Yes.
Right? And it's like an addiction is just what manifests. In other words, that's what other people see. It's what we see. It's what people around us see. And that's why we sort of tell ourselves a story that, look, the addiction's the problem. But to your point, it's not.
No, it isn't. And the cool part is, we don't even realize, this is such an interesting dynamic because this is a great example of how you can see how one addiction can be suddenly go from something that's so minor and minute to out of control really quickly. And yeah. One of the crazy things, some of the statistics that I'm finding, because I love doing research on this stuff, this is really my passion. One of the most interesting statistics I find is that after long-term use of any substance, that doesn't matter what it is, it doesn't matter if it's smoking or if it's drinking or if it's drugs, whatever it is, long-term use of that literally changes the chemical and physiological makeup of your brain.
Yeah, I believe it.
Yeah. Yes.
That's the science behind it.
It is. And so the chemicals in your brain are what, so let's break it down to what addiction is. So addiction is basically one day you went and say, for example, just use marijuana as an example. One day you just went and used it. You were having a really stressful day. It was a really bad day and marijuana made it feel better. Like life wasn't so bad. Like I could do this. It's okay. And then the next day you wake up and life is hitting you in the face again with its reality and the one you don't like. And all these feelings come with it. And then, well, why not just tonight? Because you know what? Last night it made me feel better. So tonight I'm going to use it again. And then before you know it, Saturday comes around and it's 9 a.m. and you're like, hey, you know what made me feel better for the rest of the week? I'm going to keep doing this.
Yeah.
So we find that it very quickly spirals out of control. And marijuana is such a perfect example because marijuana isn't hurting a lot of people. It's actually helping a lot of people. But we develop habits around it. And those habits are where our addiction stems from. So
totally.
Right. And so habits are things we do without thinking. Something you do just by doing. And a great example, like I said, is smoking marijuana. Because what it's going to do when you take it, and marijuana is a little different than, say, alcohol or opioids or smoking, because right. marijuana actually attaches to your bliss molecule. THC does. So you actually will feel better. But it's considered a gateway drug because you can only so high on it. So you can only escape so much before you just start to feel that as your normal, which is that part is the case for all of us. So, you know, I could do one line of cocaine for an entire week and it would be all I needed. But by next week, my tolerance has grown because my brain chemicals have changed. Now I need to use two lines next week. And before I know it, it's three lines. Before I know it, I'm out of control and I don't know what I'm doing.
The same way.
It is. And so it will take, this is the part that blows my mind. It will take 14 to 18 months for your brain to chemically recover from using any substance.
Wow.
So what does that mean for our users? So people who are going to rehab, this is why LaserQuit is so amazing and why I'm so excited to share it with you, is because these people who are in rehab go through their 7-day detox thinking that as soon as their 7-day detox is over, they're going to feel so much better and they're going to be able to really deal with the fact that they're getting clean. The problem with this is over this 7 days, their endorphins have crashed so hard. Their withdrawal symptoms have kicked in so hard. All of these things have made them feel so terrible that they go through this period. And when they do get out the other side, say day 7 to day 10 of your detox, you'll start to feel a little bit better. But I say a little bit. So what I mean by that is I have clients who, you know, before they started using, they were already stressed out. They start using, their brain chemicals change. We go to get them clean. And now they started using for a reason because there was this pain that they didn't want to feel. They start using. And now, I don't know if you've ever been depressed, but depression really is hard. It makes things that much harder. It makes things feel like they're way worse than they've ever been. It just makes life feel difficult.
Yeah. Yeah.
You're going to pull someone out of addiction and put them into a depressed state because their brain can't make proper chemicals. So for the next 14 to 18 months, they are going to struggle with depression. They're going to struggle with wanting to feel normal. Then they're going to be put on some chemicals that could or could not help. You know, maybe they get put on SSRIs, antidepressants, those types of things. But again, chemically filling them, and their body may never recover from that. LaserQuit makes it so that that doesn't have to be the case. So for the next 18 months, these people are coming from a depressed place where everything is so much harder to deal with. And now I want you to deal with your trauma in order for us to not use again. So now I'm going to put them in a more depressed place because dealing with your trauma, all of the feeling surface, all the ones you've been hiding, pushing down, all of these are now coming up and you're in a depressed place where things are already hard to deal with. So now I don't want to deal with any of the things because they're all hard to deal with.
Yeah, I understand that.
Or and not fine.
It can really just get complicated for people because I feel like.
This is the reason that people are not getting sober long term because you want them to last. You know, like if we can make it to a year, you got a good handle on your addiction. But how do we make it to 1 year when my brain chemicals aren't working? This is the core of the reason that the majority of people cannot get clean and sober and stay clean and sober because they need to be clean and sober for 18 months before they're going to feel normal.
Yeah. Wow.
And this is why so many people fail.
Yeah. And there's, I would imagine, though, if you don't mind me just kind of playing devil's advocate here for a minute, I would imagine there are probably people out there that don't believe in this. What do you say to them?
Oh, 1,000%. Honestly, you're my favorite. Come see me. Let me talk about me.
Yeah.
And that's why, and so this is, now we will get into the science of what I'm about to say in the rest of this podcast, but what laser quit does is it tricks your brain into thinking it's already gotten the fix by releasing massive amounts of endorphins, using your body's own energies so that your brain will recover faster. And then we go in and do that a few different times to make sure that your brain understands how we've tricked it and what we want it to do, so that by the time they hit 1 year, their brain has been, they've been pretty clear because their endorphins are raised, their serotonin, their bliss molecule, their dopamine, all of these things have sort of started to regulate over the last year of getting these treatments, which allows them to move through these things easier, quicker, and more permanently. So okay, our clients make it 18 months without a problem as long as they follow the program.
Mm-hmm. Okay. So then let's break this down really simply and let's just start like step by step. Walk us through the process.
Okay. So before I walk you through the process, I want to give you guys a quick breakdown on what I'm talking about. Okay. Because a lot of people are like, well, what the hell is cold laser therapy? So what cold laser therapy is low-level radiation combined, and yes, low level. So no, it will have no negative impacts on your body. It is low level radiation combined with LED light therapy. So I'm sure you have heard about red light therapy and it's all the trend right now. It's been around for 60 years. This is something we've known is helpful for a long time. It's just now being recognized as a great way to deal with certain things. So combining the two really affect your body. And the reason for that is low level radiation really helps penetrate deeper, where it allows us to get through to the point we're trying to get to. So we use acupuncture-based points using cold laser therapy, which will allow us to control your body's reaction. And we're basically instructors telling it what we want it to do. So we go in and tell the brain and the body, we want to recover from addiction, and this is what we need to do. So we're releasing massive amounts of all of the endorphins so that we can trick your brain into thinking that it's got the fix. So this is when you walk in my door. First, you're going to call me. You're going to book your appointment. We'll have a very brief consultation about what that looks like for you, why you want to quit, what your commitment level is, that type of thing. Then we book your appointment. You come in, you fill out a little bit of paperwork. And then, and in the video or in the email, when we send you your first confirmation email, there is a video. The video explains everything in great detail. It's about 15 minutes long. It just allows you to see how it's all going to work, what to expect, what your role is, what my role is. Literally, we break it down for you. Okay. So the video comes. Then you come in and you see us. You fill out some paperwork. You have your first treatment. You walk out. You're a non-smoker. You don't drink anymore, whatever it is. For our smokers, it's a little bit different than our heavier drugs. So heavier drugs, they come a little more often and stuff like that. But we send emails to let our clients know, hey, don't forget that you need to come in. Hey, don't miss your appointments, that type of thing. And not just one, but multiple. So we break down to them on the phone. This is how many times you're going to need to come. This is how often you need to come. Then we book you your appointment. It sends you emails reminding you when to come. It reminds you that it's time twice. We do all these things so that we can get you in. And we do more than one treatment. That is one of the things that sets us aside from the rest of the people. My industry has found a way to make money. My goal is not to make money is obviously a side effect and I need more money to reach more people. But my goal is to help people actually stop, stop for 6 months and then come see me again in 9 months because you only purchased one treatment. That doesn't work for what my model of this business is.
What you really want to do is not only get people to stop whatever their addiction is, but you want to make sure that it's like a permanent habit for them. I totally get that as an educator.
Yes. And so we teach people. So it's not just about the treatments. It's also we offer some coaching packages within that offer the treatment plus some coaching support to help you get through the difficulty of the feelings you don't want to feel. So we offer programs that, you know, certain smokers, for example, are like, well, I don't want to deal with the trauma around it. I don't care. Okay, fine. So we can definitely help you quit smoking. However, just know that you may go back to it if you don't find new coping mechanisms.
Yeah.
And that's the other problem that I'm seeing is a real problem in the world that we're in right now is the fact that most of us don't have coping mechanisms to deal with the rest of life. So then we just go right back to what we know. So even people who come in to quit smoking, if they go back on, they're almost every single time, oh, I got stressed out.
Well, a lot of the problem today, if you don't mind me saying, is just
I got diagnosed with cancer. Like, I know it doesn't make sense, but people are like, I got diagnosed with cancer, so I started smoking again. I'm like, well, that makes sense, doesn't it? But
yeah,
it doesn't make sense, which is
I think people just, we are just inundated with marketing messages every day. The social media has really made people compare themselves to other people. I just feel like, you know, we've never been more distracted than we are now. So I can totally see the need to have the follow-up support and, you know, having you walk alongside people as they sort of, you know, figure out what their life looks like, because they're assuming a new identity.
Yes. 100% they are.
Yeah. Wow. So obviously, I'm going to ask you this again. We sort of touched on this at the beginning, but I'd love for you to give me a little bit more color on it. Obviously, this is personal for you because you quit smoking. So what were things like for you when you realized, you know what, I've tried things and this just isn't working? What was that moment where you said, I'm gonna quit and I'm going to do something different?
So I'm thrilled to announce that I'm partnering with a brand new product, and it's called Celevate. This is an amazing, tasty, gummy supplement, and it comes in two varieties. One designed to help you with inflammation and recovery, perfect for after a workout, or if you've had like several days in a row where you've really pushed it and you're really starting to feel it in your body, this is the perfect addition to a regular routine. The other formula helps address focus and memory, which, let's be honest, I think we can all use a little help there, right? What's different about Celevate is that not only does it taste great, but it has amazing antioxidant power. So many vitamins and supplements on the market today, you either have to take several in a single day to even see any kind of tangible result, or most of the time, a lot of them don't even give you the result that they promise. And Celevate checks both boxes. I take one of each formula every day. And what's more is that they pack and travel really well. So you can take some and put them in a Ziploc bag and throw it in your bag when you're going out of town, and they won't melt. And it just is the perfect addition to whatever it is that you're doing every day in the way of vitamins and supplements and whatever else works for you. So I knew that I had to get in here and at least tell you about it. I would love it if you would head over to their site and give it a try. I'm actually going to offer you a really special deal. You can find this amazing product at their website, and that's spelled Celevate.com, which is CELLEV8.com. And use my special promo code, the Allison K 2024, and you can save 15% off. I would love to know what you think once you have a chance to try this.
Oh, there were so many. Let me just tell you that. There were so many times where I was like, I need to quit. And then, you know, like I did for a period, having children was the easiest motivator. And then getting divorced was also the easiest one for me to pick up a cigarette. Now, it's funny because this is where my understanding of where people are like, oh, I got cancer. And I know outsiders are like, you know, you started smoking and how stupid. But for me, I got divorced. And the first thing I did was like, oh, here's my middle finger to you, ex-husband, which literally is me drinking poison, waiting for him to die.
Yeah.
That doesn't make any sense. I'm killing myself.
Yeah.
As F you to him? Like, no.
Yeah.
So, we have to really look at the different pieces that come together with this. So for me, oh my goodness, there were so many times I was just like, this is awful. Then I started dating a non-smoker, and he was so lovely about me being a smoker that he was like, you do you. However, you sit down beside a non-smoker and they're like, oof. And it wasn't an intentional, like, ew, you're gross.
Totally. Yeah, I get it.
I now do the same thing to others now that I'm a non-smoker. When people sit down, I'm like, oof.
Well, I'm going to be honest, I don't smoke, and I have a very bionic nose, and I can smell a smoker a mile away, so I can appreciate that.
It's such an icky feeling, you know, to smell it, and then you immediately react, and it's not intentional. They don't even know that they smell. Like, they do, but
it's just a very nasty habit, and it's just,
slowly, like, why are we doing this to ourselves?
Yeah. Exactly. That was my next point. It's like, you know, it's almost like it. I don't want to call it a nervous habit because I know it's very real for people, But to your point, it's like, okay, what are we doing this for? I'm killing myself because I'm trying to deal with this. I mean, it's like, that just doesn't make sense.
No, it doesn't. And yet it's so common for us to do.
Yeah.
And that's exactly
it. It's not smoking. It could be alcohol. It could be, you know, shopping, gambling. It could be any of that, right?
It is, yeah. And there's even people who are like, well, I don't have an addiction because they have 15 of them.
Oh, that's interesting. Tell me about that.
Some days when I'm stressed out, I don't have a consistent thing I go to when I'm stressed out. One day I might go shopping and spend hundreds of dollars. Another day I might go gambling. Another day I might spend my whole day on the phone. Another day I drank. Another day I did cocaine. If they don't use the same substance, then I'm not an addict. I'm not an addict.
Yeah. It makes it easy not to claim responsibility too, because it's somebody else's problem at the end of the day.
And one of the things that I see a lot of too is what we call dry drunking. So where you're no longer drinking, but you are acting out all of your addictions on other things. And one of the number one things that I see addicts go to is sugar, because sugar lights up your brain better than any other drug out there.
Yeah.
And I mean, it's also going to kill you, inflame you, do all these other things to you. But we go to that because it releases massive amounts of dopamine and they're looking for a high.
Yeah. It's a feel
healthy ways for us to find highs that we don't need to eat sugar. We don't need to do drugs. You have heard, get high on your own supply, because oxygen.
One of the best ways to raise your own endorphins is to work out and be fit and be active, right?
Yes. Now, that being said, that's also a piece that we see people go into. You know, they'll be like, oh, well, I'm sober, so I went to the gym, which I'm going to tell you, for me, that's exactly what I did. I quit smoking. I started the gym. You know, we have to watch our behavior though, because my best friend is an alcoholic and she gave up alcohol. She's 2 years sober and she definitely is, you know, in and out of phases of wanting to drink. And it's interesting to watch her because she's finally becoming conscious of when she's dry drunking, meaning when she's using the gym as a way to fulfill that need, when she fills her face with food to fulfill that need. And just to sit with that sensation instead is incredibly challenging for her.
I bet. Well, I think for anyone who tends to want to go do something, it would be very challenging.
Yeah, it is. I mean, addiction is, not having coping mechanisms is a challenge. And she has a ton of coping mechanisms now, but she always tries to find the easy way out, which a lot of us do, whether you're an addict or not.
Unfortunately, that's human nature. We want the path of least resistance.
Yes. And so for her, the path of least resistance. But here's the thing, is her addict brain starts telling her, you know, path of least resistance. This is what I'm going to need in my life. I need to relax and I need this alcohol. But she also knows that if she has the alcohol, she loses her entire family, her children, her husband. She might have her business if she doesn't get too out of control, because she's always been a really good functioning alcoholic. But it will be her living in a trailer by herself somewhere with her dog, drinking a lot of alcohol and having no one with her.
Yeah. Wow.
So, yeah, and there's just some challenges with our alcoholism, with any of our addictions, is the people we surround ourselves with.
Yeah, absolutely. And I just want to hit on one more quick thing before we move on. And that is, you know, it's also about control too. It's about, I can control my habit, you know, by, let's say you're a drinker, you know, I can control it because I can drink when I want to and I can put it away when I want to. So therefore, I'm not really an addict. But the issue then becomes, you know, how long can you go without doing that? Right? It's like you're looking to something outside of yourself to complete yourself.
Yes. Also, you don't need to classify as drinking every single day or drinking in excess in order to be in it.
Yep. Absolutely.
Does the thought of giving it up scare you? Because if it does, guess where you need to go?
Yep. Very well said.
Very uncomfortable. It is. And most people are like, oh, I'm not an addict. And then I can see it in their face where they're like, oh, but the thought of giving it up. And that's where I sit and dig into it with them. And I get into that side where this is where people don't like me, because they're like, oh, I'm not addicted though. And I'm like, okay, well then let's go 30 days without drinking to join me. And they're like, you're 15 years. It doesn't count. Well, yeah, it does. So let's start. You do 30 days. And the panic that you see in their face, the way you can see them just get like super concerned.
Yeah. You know, it's very interesting though, because we really get married to our stories. you know, the stories mm-hmm. that we tell ourselves and the ways that we cope become part of who we are.
They do. And it's so interesting too, because it's the story you tell yourself, you're then going to be inviting in any action or story that will feed the story you've told yourself.
Right. And all you're going to, your world, your brain is just going to show you more evidence that that's
true.
Oh
my goodness, it's so good at it too. So if you're just a crappy human being who's just a drug addict, then guess what you're going to bring into your life to feed more into that more crappy addict behavior that makes it so everyone else in the world sees you. And then you go back to this bullshit story that, you know, I'm just a crappy drug addict, except that doesn't have to be the reality. That's the reality that you're making up.
Totally. And then you walk around saying, I just can't change my life. You know, I'm just not meant to do this or whatever. And it's like you start adopting the victim mindset to some degree. But we attract what we are. We don't attract what we want unless we're willing to be active becoming it, right?
Very much so.
Yeah.
And it's super interesting. The same way that we can develop, you know, these amazing habits that will completely change your life, which are small, consistent steps every single day. Yep,
absolutely.
Exact same thing with your addiction. So that small, consistent step of just one drink every night very quickly becomes just two drinks. And this whole, I can control my addiction is baloney.
Yeah.
Not control your addiction, or you can, but it's a very temporarily lived thing before your addiction is completely out of control again. Yep. So it really does matter how you approach this and what aspects you're looking at. And this is why it's so much more than just an addiction.
Yeah. Well, and it's also, to your point, very important to follow through. I would think the follow-up support is just as important as the treatments.
It is. It is. All of it has to go hand in hand. Otherwise, you're going to be right back where you started from.
Yeah. Why do you think, and I think I know the answer to this, but I'd just be curious in your thoughts since you do this kind of work regularly. Why do you think so many people don't ever conquer their addictions? Like, I know people who've like tried, or they say they've tried, but of course, you know, people's realities are different too. But why do you think people, so many people consistently struggle? I don't want to just use the word struggle, but just consistently struggle.
I honestly will say that all of it comes down to feeling a feeling that you don't want to feel and not being willing to work through it. Because there's a piece inside of every single one of us, inside our brain, that when you get too close to things being incredibly difficult, our brain, and I've been pushed to this point too, like I've openly asked to be pushed to this.
Yeah.
So. Where they say, okay, worst fear. Now, what if that worst fear became reality? What would that actually look like? And there's a piece of you that are like, oh, well, nobody would like me. Okay. And I'd probably be on the streets. Okay. And well, if I'm on the streets, then nobody's going to want to be my friend. I'm just a crappy person. And you know what? I should just die. So there's this place inside of us that we go to where we suddenly feel like we're not enough at all. So we should just be dead. So why are we even here?
Yeah. Yeah.
And people say that story, really run with that story of, you know what? Well, screw it. I should just die. I'm not worth it. And all of our trauma comes down to, I am not enough. And it's all from, and it's not their fault. Some of them are completely unhealed, unaware, and they bring that into our lives. The thing is that is, in my opinion, that is the whole reason we're here, is to be traumatized so that we can heal from that trauma. But we have to experience the trauma in order to heal from it.
And we have to, you know, when we heal from it, our job becomes to be the example that we want that we want to be in the world. You know, it becomes part of our purpose and who we are.
Yes. You have to, what was it? Buddha said, be the change you want to see in the world. And it's because you have to start showing. And when other people see you living in that way, they're either going to hate you or they're going to love you. I have a lot of people who hate me because they want to be where I am and their fear prevents them from heading in this direction. And they don't understand that 1 year could completely change their lives and get very much on the path of where you need to be. I just got started really early I was really young when I started this journey of, you know, self-discovery and positivity and manifestation and the law of attraction, all these things. I just was very young when I started this search because I felt like there was something more in this world for me and that I had a bigger purpose.
Yeah. And a lot of us who are entrepreneurs can relate to that because entrepreneurship is really just a journey of personal discovery disguised as being a business owner. I mean, you're still
helping people. So we create these businesses so that we can help people. Yeah. And that's our dharma. That's our purpose of life. And so for me, this, like I said, I have another business and it's a successful business. And I probably could spend all my time in that business and grow it to a multi-million dollar business if I chose to. My passion is not in that business. My passion is in this business. And in that business, I also am helping people in a lot of ways.
Well, you feel like you have a much greater impact. I mean, you're obviously solving a problem and serving a need in your other business, but it doesn't take a genius to hear in your voice that this is where your heart is.
Yeah. Yes. This is the deepest passion I have. And you could probably tell by the hundreds of thousands of dollars that I've invested into this company over the last 13 years, and it has not given me back yet. I know when this really starts to take off, that's when it's going to show that this really is the reason I'm doing it. And it's funny because people come in and I'll give them their treatments and stuff, and they're like, you know what? You're the healer. Your laser is just your tool to do so. And it was like this wake up call of, oh my God, they're right.
Yeah.
This is the purpose. This is what I'm here to do. This is what I'm here to, like, all of this is just so intensely passionate.
And in so doing, since the focus of this show is the journey of self-care, really what you're doing for people is you're helping them on their own journey of how they prioritize themselves.
Yeah.
Yeah. So what's your best piece of advice for the person listening who maybe has tried other things that hasn't worked, or maybe they're just in a really dark or desperate place, or maybe they're just ready to give up? What do you say to that person?
There is always hope. Whenever I'm asked this question on podcast, the one thing I have to tell you is there's always hope. You just have to find it. And then once we find it, find the place that you can focus that hope, then we got to get you to do the things that'll get that hope moving.
Yeah. Can you give us a couple of like workable tips? Like I'm thinking for people listening, something they can walk away with and implement?
Yeah, well, definitely one of the best books I think I've probably ever read when it comes to habits was Atomic Habits. So definitely read that book. It was amazing. He talks about ways to remove bad habits and start new ones, how to replace old ones with new ones, all the things. The book was amazing. And it really helps my clients when I give them the tools to implement. So really it comes down to like figuring out what do you want in your life, what don't you want in your life, and then start heading towards the place that you do want. So if you are really focused on giving up an addiction, you need to find the right support channels. You need to find the right treatments. You need to do the things that are going to support you in moving forward. Don't give up hope because it is there. There are options there that can help. And especially with the treatments that we offer, we're giving people hope like they've never had before.
Yeah, I love that. I love that.
95% success rates on their addictions treatments. And yet I can tell you that that's what we're seeing when people follow the program.
Yeah.
So I really just hope. It's always there. You just have to find it. And then you need to take steps to move towards it.
Yeah. And you have to give yourself permission to believe too. And then just keep nurturing that belief, you know, one little bit at a time, right? How can people connect with you, Meredy?
So you guys can find me on the website. You can send me an email. So the website is laserquittherapy.ca or laserquit.net. And laser is spelled with an S, not a Z. If you guys are a business owner, we are looking for partners. So we train people to offer our services and then you offer them out of the business you already have. So wellness centers, chiropractors, spa, medi spa, those types of things, we can be an added service to the business that you already have, which can be incredibly beneficial for both of us. We also have multiple locations in British Columbia and Alberta, and we are looking to grow across Canada into the United States and across the world eventually. So the more locations we have, the better. Definitely reach out to us. The phone number, if you want to call or text, you can also use WhatsApp. 250-571-9879 will get you in touch with us. And I really look forward to hearing from anyone who may be interested in partnering with us to help us make the world a better place.
Love it. So it's laserquittherapy.net?
.ca.
.ca. Okay. All right. Just wanted to quittherapy.ca.
Laserquittherapy.ca or laserquit.net.
Laserquit. Okay. .net. Got it. Okay. Awesome. Thanks. And are you on social media?
We are. So you can find me personally at Sober Coach Mare on Instagram. The business is laserquit.therapy Facebook, you'll find us at Laser Quit Therapies Corp. I think it is on Facebook. And there's multiple locations. So there are a few different pages find on Facebook. But yeah.
Great. Thanks so much for taking time to talk with me today. I really appreciate you sharing your story and the work that you're doing.
Thank you so much for having me, Allison.
Yeah, of course. Absolutely. So folks out there listening, this was a pretty powerful conversation. There was just a lot that we uncovered here about what addiction is, about how really it's how you look at it and what you make it mean for you. And of course, all the amazing work that Meredy's doing in her business, helping people with her laser therapy. So if what you heard today was really helpful for you and you know someone in your life who you think really needs to hear this conversation, I would really recommend that you copy the link to this episode. We're on every major podcast platform there is, depending on how you listen to us. Just copy the link and send it to them on as a free gift from me, or you can come over to my website and connect with me. That's www.theallisonk.com. That's Allison with one L, and just hit the connect button. It's the upper right-hand corner on our homepage. And just write to me, and we will do it for you if you'll just tell us where you want it to go. This is how we've been able to build such an incredible audience. And if you're listening to me today for the first time, or if you've been with us for a while, we do consider you part of our family. So just know that we are grateful for each and every one of you. You guys are the reason why I keep showing up here every single week. This is Allison Katzkowski with The Ultimate Journey of Self-Care. You are one step closer to living your ultimate life. So make it a good one.